Because as I was saying, I'm not a great diary writer, but at the start of this process, I decided to keep a diary just in case it worked. And just in case I saw the victory, and just in case there was a testimony to tell at the end. So I'm very grateful to God that it has worked out. And I'm hoping that it'll be encouraging, because it wasn't a 100% victory. It was probably perhaps a 85 to 90%. Didn't work out exactly as I'd been speaking out, but I got there in the end. So I hope that it will encourage you to press on, even if things aren't working out quite how you pictured them. Just keep pressing on. We have sung a lot this morning about seeing a victory, and I mentioned, you know, about Jehoshaphat, and I got Michelle to read Romans 8:28, which talks about God working all things together for good. But that phrase, "You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it to good," that was actually Joseph who said that to his brothers when they were reconciled at the end of the story, and he said to them, "What you meant for evil, God meant it for good. God turned the whole thing around and was glorified through that situation." There's so many examples in the Word of people using their faith and seeing things change and seeing things happen. And I believe that is exactly what I've done here. And I hope that sharing that this is absolutely nothing new. And I've spoken on this before about using a prayer of declaration, about taking the Word of God, forming it to what you need, and then speaking it out, because there's power in our words. But I'm kind of getting ahead of myself there. But Vic asked me to share my testimony, and I'm really excited to do that. It all started really in around April of 2018, when, as a partnership, my sister and her husband and I decided that it was time to begin thinking about winding up our business. There was a lot of things leading up to that. One of them was that he was going to be retiring soon. Well, I say soon. Back then, it was in 5 years' time. So we had this date in sight of his retirement. And the nature of our business was that it took three of us to run it. So if he had left, it would just been the two of us left, and it wouldn't have been workable in that way. So that was one reason why we had decided to wind up the business. Also, I had been feeling for a long time that that particular arena of business was not my calling. It was a family business. My parents bought the business in 1971, and we've been there ever since. And we had all come into the business at different times and for different reasons. I particularly came into the business because my mother was ill and I had to take over from her. That was in 1997. And I went to help her get over that period and ended up staying. And the business developed and grew. Mother retired soon after that. My father died soon after that. But the business just went on. Then when my mother was ill and we were having to care for her, the whole thing just began to be... I got to the point where I thought, this is coming to an end. This is not what I am created to do. I was reading... I did put a passage down here about Barnabas and Paul, and how they had this... like a falling out, really. And they went their separate ways. Now, we didn't fall out. I wouldn't say it was all rosy and smiley all the time. We did have our differences. But sometimes there can be a godly dissatisfaction, a godly dissatisfaction in where you are in life. Like God is saying to you, The blessing and the anointing on this particular season is over, and it's time for change. Now, if everything is rosy and lovely and comfy, we'll stay where we are. You know, unless God writes it on the wall or whatever. You know, sometimes we stay where they are. There needs to be sometimes that godly dissatisfaction in where you are, that to encourage you to step out into the new thing. So this was all stirring in me. And then, as I say, Chris wanted to retire. So we had a conversation around April of that year, and we decided that we would put the business on the market, knowing that businesses don't sell particularly like houses. You know, houses can sell very quickly. Businesses tend not to be like that. They tend to take longer. Not always, but sometimes. So with that in mind, we knew that it may take up to 5 years even to Chris's retirement to sell. So at that point, we decided to put the business on the market, and that was fine. That was that. And between then and January of 2020, I didn't really do an awful lot of praying about it that I can really remember. I certainly haven't journaled anything up to that point, but in January of 2020, things kind of began to stir in me. And we had every year we would take 2 weeks off after Christmas. And in the second week of that holiday, I really began to think about the future and where this was all going. And I wrote this in my diary. I wrote, "For the last week or so, I've been thinking about this coming year. I am 50 now, making me think of the year of Jubilee. This will be my year of Jubilee, the year of restoration and release." Now, for those of you who don't know what the year of Jubilee is, it was in Leviticus 25, and it was a festival, a season that God commanded the Israelites that every 50 years there would be a restoring of property, there'd be a cancelling of debt, there would be a freeing of slaves. It was a season of complete change, but release and renewal. And this was what I saw for my life. My 50th was this new season of something completely different. And in a sense, my life being restored to me, because it had been a life of duty and commitment, and I was happy to do that. And it was my duty to do that in my family business, but this was coming to an end. It says in Leviticus 25:10, "And you shall hallow the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possessions, and you shall return every man unto his family." And I also started thinking of Abram when it says in Genesis 12 how God called him. And it says, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house." Now I took that, I named that as the family business. "From thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." So these were the scriptures that I was thinking about at that time. Now that was on the 3rd of January. Then on the 8th of January, I had a talk with Zan. We'd gone back to work and it was quiet, so Chris had gone home early, and we started talking about these things, and we realised how like-minded we were about this situation. So this was my diary entry on January the 8th. I said, "After Chris left work early today, Zan and I began to talk about these things. She asked me if I pray about selling the business, so I told her my thoughts. She said that she had been feeling the same way, that this was the year of change. God had said to her, 'Are you sure you want it on this time scale, so soon?' Because Zan hates change. And she said, 'Yes.' And when I asked her how long she'd been thinking about these, she said, 'Since the second week of the holidays.' That was when I had been thinking about these things too." So God was stirring both of our hearts at this time. And that meant a lot to me, because the word says that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, shall every word be established. So after that conversation, I wrote our first declaration of appropriation. I wanted us to take action together, to unite our voices as well as our hearts, and stand together and declare over the coming time. So that's what I did. I wrote a prayer of petition, or as we call it, a declaration of appropriation. One of the scriptures that I used for this was Psalm 37, 4 and 5, which says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart." Now, what I take that to mean is that he puts his desires, his plans, his purpose into our hearts. And then it says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." So he gives us his desires, and when we stand in faith and do all that we need to do, that is our part to do, he causes it to come to pass. So, as I say, I believe that God was leading us into this new phase, this new season of life. But before we could do that, we had to sell the business. So that, for me, was the priority. So I'd like to read to you my declaration of appropriation, which I wrote in January 2020. And I want to go through the scriptures that I used. Now, I'm doing this. This is my declaration. You don't have to take it and use it word for word as your own. But I hope that you'll see how I've used scriptures and formed a declaration based on those scriptures. I also know that I have a particular emphasis. I have there's some scripture which I am extremely familiar with. You will have other scriptures that you are familiar with that you can take and that you can use. But I'm sure you'll recognize a lot of them as I go through this. So this was my prayer, which was, "Thank you, Lord, for the examples in your word, which show us the power of speaking things out so that they come to pass. Thank you that you have made it possible for us to turn things from the spiritual into the physical by our thoughts and words." Now, I get that from Hebrews 11, verse 3, which says this. I'll read it to you from the NLT, because it's a good version. It says, "By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. There was creative power in the word of God." Creative power. And then Jesus says, "All power and authority has been given to me. Go ye, therefore, into all the world." So that same power and authority that God used to create the worlds, that's the same power, the same creative power that is in the word that comes out of our mouth.
Amen.
Actually, the King James says, "We know that the worlds were framed by the word of God." Our lives are framed by our words. This, as I said in the worship, this is not just cliche. This is fact. If we put faith in these principles, we'll get the results that God gets. Because it's his power, it's his authority. We are a redeemed people. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. We have had the old nature circumcised out. We are a new creature. We have everything that Jesus had. There was a wish that brought it. But I remember when we were doing the Healing University and Barry Bennett was talking about Job. And he was talking about the difference between the life of Job and the life of the believer. And how sometimes Christians compare their lives to Job. And yet, Job had nothing. He had nothing. He had no covenant. He had nothing. We have a covenant with God. We have the new creature. We have the indwelling spirit. We have the word of God. We have so much in us and at our disposal, that if we take and use these principles, we get results. It can't, in a sense, it can't fail when we stick with it and seek him for what to do and say, which is what I did. So then I said in my declaration, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established, as I've just said. Paul said that in 2 Corinthians 13:1. He said that word for word. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. If you get somebody in agreement with you, I had San, my business partner, and my sister. I tell you another two that is a good thing is a husband and wife. Husband and wife standing in agreement, that is two powerful witnesses. Not only two people in covenant with God, but in covenant with each other. My goodness, it's powerful. Declare together. Zan and I have both used our spoken words to cause it to come to pass. Faith in our words makes it happen. We get what we say, and what we say is prayer. I take that from Mark 11, 23 and 24, which says, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe in his heart that those things that he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Jesus said that. He said, you get what you say. And when you say things in faith backed up by the word of God, that's powerful. We are both filled with the Holy Ghost. We are in communion with him. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. That word communion is koinonia, the one that we know as partnership. So we have the Holy Spirit within us and we are in partnership with him. You know, we've got the very power of God in us, working through it, using his word mightily. As we partner, we release his power through our faith-filled words. And I just put Genesis 1 there because that says, God said, and there was. And that's the same power that we have. I said, we call those things that be not as though they were. That is Romans 4:17, when God told Abraham he was going to be a father of many nations. It says, that God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. So just because you can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Just because you can't see it means you haven't created it yet with your words. So I called those things that be not as though they were. We call cinders sold. I said that a lot over the 18 months. I said, I call cinders sold. I call it sold. In the name of Jesus, I call it sold. I said that a lot. We call in the buyer with money, vision, passion, and excitement. What I saw for the business was somebody coming in and taking it to the next level. We knew that as a partnership, we had taken it as far as we could. And we took it quite away. We did a lot to it. It was very small when we took it on and we developed it. We developed it once, then we extended it, then we extended it again and we developed the property next to it. I mean, we did a lot, but that was as far as we could go. What I needed was for somebody to come in and have vision and passion to then take it and run with it to new levels. So that was what I was speaking out. That was what I wanted. This is our year of Jubilee. We are released from this place in every way, released from cinders. This is me calling those things that weren't as though they were. I'm saying it as if it is. I am free. We are released. We are released from this. Leviticus 25, I read that earlier. Then I said, God will hasten or watch over his word to perform it. That is from Jeremiah 1, verse 11 and 12, where God says to Jeremiah, Now, this is, let me just say this, that a lot of the Old Testament scripture that I'm using is about judgment and coming judgment, but that doesn't matter, because the principle is the same, that what God said then, what God did then through his word, he'll do now through his word. So he said to Jeremiah, it says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it." Now, I could say a lot about this, but this is referring to Aaron's rod that budded. I don't know if you remember that story, but there'd been a rebellion against Moses and Aaron. And God said, right, every tribe, take a rod and put it into the Holy of Holies. And whoever is the chosen, whosoever's rod is chosen, that is the ones I choose. So they all wrote their names on the rods, one from every tribe. They put it in the Holy of Holies. And the next morning when they went in, Aaron's rod had budded and grown fruit overnight. And this was the sign that God wanted him. This was a sign of authority and anointing from God. And what I particularly liked about this was the word, I will hasten my word to perform it. Apparently the Hebrew means to watch over it. So he will watch over his word to perform it. There's an anointing on his word, and there's an authority in my word to see this come to pass. He calls us to forget those things which have gone before and look to the new thing that he will do. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, many of you all know these scriptures. "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Shall you not know it? Yes, I shall know it. I will see it come to pass. He will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He is leading us out of this place of our Father to a land that he will show us and will bless us, and we'll be a blessing. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. As the Old Testament saints did, we will walk in this vision and we will stay persuaded and in faith, embracing all that God has for us, keeping a good, positive confession. That is from Hebrews 11, 13, which says, "These all died in faith." This is the faith chapter, you know, where he's listed all these great men of faith, the men and women of faith. And he says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off." And this is what it was. I haven't seen it yet, but I could see it afar off. I could see it coming. "Having seen them afar off, they were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were, that this was not all there was, but there was something better coming." We seal this sale with the legal seal of authority given to us by the King. One of my favorite scriptures for declaration, which I've used before, which is Esther 8, verse 8, where the King says to Esther, "Write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you." You write what you like. What do you want? What do you want to happen? You write it and then seal it with the ring that I've given you. Seal it with the authority I've given you. What is it you want? What do you want to see? What do you want to happen? You write it and you seal it. I've done this before when I was praying over a job for Lisa, and I called that job hers. And I sealed it. I seal it with the ring of authority, with the seal of authority given to me by the King. And I even, at the desk at work, I went up to the desk as if I was wearing a ring with a seal on it of authority. And I said, "I seal that for her." So that's what I did for this. I sealed it. He's told us to go and do it. He says, "As you liketh it, say it, and believe that you have it." Then I said, "I condemn any voice that has risen a negative word over the sale of cinders. There are going to be people who criticise and sneer and have a comment to make about your vision, about what you want to do. And unless we get rid of that, it's hanging there. You want me to take authority over these voices. Say, no, I rebuke that. I cast down that in the name of Jesus. When people found out we were for sale, there was sneering. And you can't let it in. You have to just come against it. No, I condemn any voice that rises against me in judgment. That is Isaiah 54:17, which also says, no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. Amen. And any tongue that rises against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Yeah. You condemn it. You cast it down. You tell it. It's not having an effect. This authority has been given to me. It is my inheritance, my heritage, because I am the righteousness of God in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:21. My words of faith have the power to move mountains. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also, if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, it shall be done. Mm-hmm. Nothing shall be impossible for me, because with God all things are possible. Mm-hmm. Luke 1:37 says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. So that was my declaration in January 2020. And it stayed that way, really, most of the time. I did add to it a bit, and I'll tell you what I added in a bit. I did that for about a year. And then in January this year, I had another shift in how I was approaching things. And this was my diary entry of January the 16th of this year. So I say this, after a strange year last year, I have found myself wondering about the future. Now, by a strange year, of course, I mean we had lockdown. And my mother was ill, and actually she passed away in August. My uncle stayed for a month, which was a new thing for me, and it was wonderful. But also, we had a glimmer of interest in the business. Let me just read my diary entry. I found myself wondering about the future. Cinders is for sale, but with little interest other than one interested party around October that came to nothing. But the thought of selling brought a sense of panic about what I would do with my life post-Cinders. Up until we got this glimmer of interest, I hadn't really thought about the future. All I really knew was I wanted out, for all the reasons I've said. But I hadn't really given much focus to the future. And when it was just a couple of emails, really, I had this panic. And also, it was around October, so we'd been back from lockdown for a few months. And because of lockdown, we were absolutely inundated with work. We were the busiest we've ever been. And October and November last year were our two busiest consecutive ever months, ever. So we had the busiest year. And so this interest came in the middle of this busy spell. And in my heart, I was thinking, no, there's money to be made here. We can't let it go yet. So I felt really quite compromised from wanting to sell, but wanting to make sure we made all this money that was due to us in the run-up to Christmas. But anyway, so that all fizzled out, which was fine, because at that point, I had no vision for the future. So all this declaring about the sale of cinders, that was great, but what I needed now was actual direction once it was all once it, you know, if and when it happened. So then I've written, today I downloaded and listened to Joseph Prince's sermon on Hazone vision, and I decided to focus on a vision for the future. I won't go into any of that. It's available for you if you want to take it and listen to it, but it was just very personal for me because it got me focusing on what is God's vision for my life. And so I was prayerfully considering the future, even though Cinders was still going, still there, although by this time we're back in lockdown this year. This was January. But one of the scriptures that Joseph focused on was from Habakkuk, which actually Stephen shared at the last business meeting that he was at. And this scripture is one that I have clung on to through this period. Habakkuk 2, 1 to 3 says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. By the way, this is about judgment again. But for me, it isn't about judgment. It's about the power of God, the power of vision, the power of his word. Okay. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me. Now that watch means to peer into the distance. I will watch and I will peer into the distance to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. I like that. If you have a vision, write it down so that if somebody else read it, they'd know exactly what you were going to be doing. Make it plain. Make it clear what you want to do. For the vision is yet for the appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Tarry just means. How would you describe tarry? Pardon? Yeah, I mean it can perhaps be delayed, or I can't think what the definition is, but. Well, it means it's not coming to pass. Though it looks like it's not coming to pass, wait. Wait for it because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So I started looking to the Lord for vision. And he is faithful, and he gave me a vision. He gave me a track to run on. The detail of that is probably not all that important, other than It was definitely from God because I hadn't been thinking about it at all. It's to do with Sundar and our work in India and about a project that I'd like to do with him. So I've put in another diary entry, the thought has come to me tonight, and I believe that this was God who put this in my heart. And I've poured out into my diary all the thoughts that came about this project. So where my previous diary entries are really quite small, this one is pages. And that was fine. I had a vision for something that I wanted to do with Sundar in India. There was two potential barriers to that. One of them was what Sundar might think about that. And the other one was what Vic might think about that. Because I've been married for 35 years this month, and I'm not going to battle with him anymore. We've done that. We've done all our battling. We battled the first 20 years of our life, and I'm not doing it again. So I thought, if he's not up for it, I'm going to forget it. So I thought, right, Lord, you know, he is going to have to be in agreement. Otherwise, this is going nowhere with bells on, because I'm not fighting. I'm not fighting him again, ever. Anyway, this was the 16th of January when I felt God gave me this vision. On the 24th of January, it took me that long to share it with him. And it was a Sunday afternoon, and he had preached that morning on 3 John 2 and about prospering and being in health and being working in the ministry and in Tikkun Olam and repairing the world. He'd been talking all about this that day. So I thought, yeah, this is a I picked my moment. As we do, don't we, ladies? We pick our moment. And I shared my vision with Vic, and thankfully, praise God, he was excited. He was up for it. And he was coming up with all the same thoughts and ideas as I had been thinking and as I had written. He was coming up with the same obstacles that we might have to overcome to do with Indian government and this kind of thing. So it was lovely that he was on just the same page about it. So thank you, Lord. So that was one. Vic was on board. So the next thing was Sundar. You know, and is Sundar going to be up for it? Of course he was up for it. I emailed him and he's, praise the Lord, sister. Yes, we will do this work for the Lord together. So that was wonderful. So I have a track to run on. So I've got my vision. I've got it in my mind. It's filling my heart. It's filling my every waking moment. In the excitement and the planning and the potential, and I'm seeing it. I can see it in my mind. I can see how I want everything. I can see how I want it to work out. I can see it, and it's great. Now all I need is to sell the business. That was really the easy bit. I've just got in my notes, diary entry, Wednesday the 3rd of March, read from diary. So excuse me, it was obviously rather a lot to type out. Third of March. We're still in lockdown, but we were going in to fulfill orders. And it's obviously, there's a lot been happening. And at the 3rd of March was when I actually got down to writing it in my diary. But it goes back to Monday the 22nd of February. On Monday the 22nd of February, we had an order to fulfill. So I went over to work. On the way over, I had a strong feeling that this part of my life is ending. We had a call from Sam at CCL, who was our selling agent, to say that someone had asked if we would be interested in selling the property rather than the business. Chris said yes, but anyway, the detail doesn't matter. Then on Thursday the 25th, a couple came to look round, but we didn't hear anything over the weekend. On the run-up to that Thursday's visit, and just after, I had such a strong feeling, I might even call it a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge or a word of faith. I have had that in the past. I had that with Lisa's job. For example, I knew that this was her job. The reason I sealed it was because one day I was at work and I had an unsettled feeling about it. And I didn't know why. So what I did, I said, no, this job is Lisa's. This is her job. It's hers. It belongs to her. And I seal that, you know. So it was a feeling of unsettling that meant I stamped it. But I knew this was her job. And it was. She got it. And I had that similar feeling that this is it. Vic and I walked over to Zan and Chris's on Sunday evening, and as we walked home past Cinder's, Vic said, Tuesday's going to be a good day. Do you remember that? Then on Tuesday, we had an email from them saying that they are going to organise a survey with a view to making us an offer. Here's the bottom line I've written. It seems like after all this time, it is coming to pass. As I said, I walked to work that morning and I felt that this part of my life is dying. The next phase is coming. I feel so excited for a new life, albeit terrified about bringing it to come to pass. There's much to do, think, plan, and most of all, pray and sow. So that was that day. Then on Friday the 5th of March, I've written this. Every now and then, there is a slight rising of a feeling that is like worry. worried that it might all fall through or not come off. When that happens, there has always been a phrase or a word that leaps off the page. For example, Habakkuk 2:3, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Or there was Vic's word about Tuesday. Tuesday's going to be a good day. And there was another scripture from Deuteronomy that I was standing on about living prosperously and multiplying. But I also trusted that word of knowledge that I had. And I knew that God would not show me something now. He would not give me that excitement now. He would not give me the confirmation of Vic and Zan now. If he hadn't already seen it, if God has already seen it, and if he's seen it, I'm going to cling to that. That doesn't mean that worry and doubt doesn't rise. It just means that you challenge it with what you know to be the truth when it does rise. Yeah. And stand fast in it. So the offer came, and we accepted it, and it was finally happening. So the declaration changed slightly. I was calling it sold. I call Cinders sold to Mark and Jill for the agreed amount on the 31st of August. That was my declaration. I call this sold to Mark and Jill on the 31st of August for the amount agreed. I call this sold to Mark and Jill on the 31st of August for the amount agreed. I was saying that multiple times a day. I would lay hands on the wall. I call this sold to Mark and Jill on the 31st of August for the agreed amount. And then, as sometimes happened, there was an unexpected attack, I call it. An attack of doubt or a potential scuppering of the deal, which was a problem with the building itself, a potential problem. It turned out it wasn't, but a potential problem. And I had this, not panic, not, I don't know if it's panic or worry, or if it was just, you know, God prompting to say, you need to pray about this. You need to pray into this. You need to find a scripture to use to overcome this. So that was what I did. And I read a story in Samuel. Again, the context doesn't matter. It's just the scripture that jumped out at me as I was reading the story. Is when a chap called Asahel is pursuing a chap called Abner after a battle. And it says, and Abner said again to Asahel, turn thee aside from following me. Wherefore should I smite thee to the ground? How then should I hold up my face to Joab thy brother? Howbeit he refused to turn aside. Wherefore Abner, with the hinder end of the spear, smote him under the fifth rib, that the spear came out behind him, and he fell down there. Nunzi, what on earth is that about? As I was reading that, I just felt like this was a surprise attack. He obviously was holding his spear with the dangerous end behind him, but he used the end of it to strike him under his fifth rib, and it came out the other side, and he died. I just felt like this was a God showing me an attack coming out of nowhere that I needed to pray against. So that was when I got Isaiah 54:17 out again, and I declared that no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. And I declared that over and over and over. And I kept doing that. I did that for about 3 weeks while this whole issue was potentially causing problems. I said, I've written it down. I declare that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I cast it down. I condemn it. It cannot stand. It cannot prevail because I am the righteousness of God. He is for me. not against me, and I will see the victory in this situation. I call Cinders sold to Mark and Jill for the agreed amount on the 31st of August. I've been in battle this year, battling with the word, speaking it out and declaring it. So the last 4 months of trading weren't easy for a lot of reasons. Just because we'd never done anything like that before. We've never closed a business. And we had a lot of stock that we had to sell. And we had this time. We had this four-month date that we were looking to. So we had to try and balance selling things off. We didn't want to sell it off too cheaply so that we had nothing left at the end. We didn't want to hold off on selling it cheaply so that we were left with a load of stuff at the end. If anybody's ever done anything like that, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It's getting the timings right. And that was stressful, because we didn't really know what we were doing. We just had to trust God in the working out of that final time. But I clung to my scriptures, my weapons of choice, as I called them. Whenever worry started to rise or a problem rose up that gave me concern, I would just cling to that scripture. It shall come to pass. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will come to pass. It will surely come. I clung on to that. I declared that, and I believed it. And as I say, I knew that God would not have given me that word of knowledge or wisdom, whatever it was at the start, if he hadn't already seen it done. So that faith in calling those things that be not as though they were, was powerful, I believe. Even though you can't see it, you know, keep in faith that it is there. Then came August the 31st. This date that I've been looking forward to for 4 months. So I woke up in the morning and I'm sat by the phone. Got my phone with me the whole time, looking at my phone. Well, to cut a long story short, it did not go through that day. And I was kind of gutted. I won't lie to you. That threw me. There was issues with the site plan. It was a stupid, stupid thing. There's an issue with the site plan that showed the property that we owned going out into a portion of the road rather than curving around with a pavement. The stupidest, stupidest thing. So we had to send that back to the council to be rectified. And that took time. We were on holiday, then the solicitors were on holiday, and then waiting for the council. It still didn't happen, but then eventually it did. On September the 22nd, it went through. It actually went through on the 21st, but the important bit, us getting our money, happened on the 22nd, because that's when it counts, I tell you, that's when it counts. Anything else doesn't matter until you've got the money. That's when it's official, in my humble opinion. So we got the money, and that was fine. So it didn't happen exactly as I had been speaking. It didn't happen exactly as I'd been declaring. Perhaps 90%. It was 3 weeks late. That makes me think of Daniel. Yeah. That prayer of his took 3 weeks. Yeah. But we got it. We got there in the end. Why it didn't happen on that date, I don't exactly know. I have conflicting thoughts about it. We heard a teaching once from a chap called Greg Moore at the Bible school, who was talking about how you can't put God on the clock. Now, is that true? I'm not sure, because as far as I'm concerned, it's up to us. We get what we say. And if we believe God has put something on our heart, You know, if I believe that God has given me the desire of his heart, you know, why not? Why not have it on the date you want? I don't know. Maybe it's because when there's other humans involved and other people's actions involved, it can take time, there can be delays. I don't know. I don't know how it all works. But that's the thing about the word. It's like the parable of the sower says, the farmer plants the seed, then he sleeps and rises, the seed grows, he knows not how. You know, we don't always know what is going on, but what we do know is that God's word is certain and sure. And it can be trusted, it can be declared, it's powerful. It's creative. God created the worlds. He formed the worlds through his word. And we can use his word. It's amazing. We can use his word for what we want. Now, when we are seeking God and trusting him, you can trust your desires. You can trust the desires of your heart when you're walking with God. So that you know that you can declare these things. It's not carnal. It's not lustful. You know, I'll tell you a very funny story about when we had healing rooms at the Mart and we had all the other stall holders around us. Eveline, you'll be very familiar with who I'm about to mention, but there was one particular lady who would come up to us every week and she'd say, "Say a prayer for me, will you? Say a prayer, I'll get some more money. I've only made £4 this week, plus the rent money." She was always asking, do you know who I mean? Yeah. And there was one time she'd said that, and when she went off, my mum, under her breath, said, "So you can consume it on your own lust." But when your heart is the Lord's and you are seeking the Lord, you can trust the desires of your heart and you can use his word. You can be confident and bold in using his word for your benefit. That's what it's designed for. That's what God has provided for us. His word, we can use it to direct, to sow, to steer, to grow, to reap. You know, we use it. Use it for our benefit. His word we have his word as potential. But it doesn't always come to pass exactly how he has written until we speak it out. We take it and use it and speak it. You get what you say. You know, you get what you say. That's so, so generous of God to set it up like that. So generous that whatever is the desire of our heart, we can cause it to come to pass. And I have preached about using God's word many, many times. You may remember I've preached in the past about taking the word as a weapon. And I used examples of people who use different things as a weapon. We had David using his slingshot, which was meant for animals, but he used it against Goliath. Then there was Ehud, who fashioned his sword, his dagger, strapped it to his thigh, and he killed Elgon, whatever his name was, with that dagger. Then there was the chap who used the ox goad, Shamgar or somebody. He used an ox goad and slew like 600 men or something with that. And then there was Samson who used a jawbone of an ass. You know, you can use anything from the word. I believe that's the picture there. Even if it seems totally random to you, if God ministers that as a word to speak out, use it. It's powerful. We have an arsenal of weapons to use in any situation in life. And as I said, you know, I repeated my prayer often. Now, there's a difference between repeating your prayer and vain repetition. Your Jesus spoke against vain repetition. This is putting faith in God's word and speaking it out, expecting results. And there's power in that. But I was thinking about weapons. And I was thinking about, I mean, I know nothing about guns, but I would imagine that weapons that soldiers have don't just have one bullet in that they fire once. Most guns, I'm sure, have multiple rounds in them for firing multiple times. You know, use the weapon. You know, I call it sold. I call it sold. I call it sold. I call it sold. You get the idea? You know, keep firing, firing, firing. Your word is powerful. It's powerful. But also, it's a seed. You know, you're planting. You know, I call it sold. I call it sold. Imagine going down a row of a drill, planting your seeds. I call it sold. I call it sold. I call it sold. It's not vain repetition. It's powerful. And also, you know, that scripture in Isaiah which says, he will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. We sold our business in lockdown, which was not an obvious time to sell a business. You know, don't go by the natural. God works beyond the natural. His word is powerful. And it doesn't matter about, you know, economic climate or any of these things. When we're using the word of God, that overrides, overcomes, overwhelms all of that. When we put our faith in, if we believe it's that powerful, that's the results we get. So now it's sold, the whole thing is over. And in amongst all of that, as I said, my mother died in August and we had her estate to wind up. That all went through in May. So this year has been an incredible year. It was 18 months, but an incredible year for us. Or for me personally with my business and my mother. But also just having that vision, that track to run on. But then as soon as I had the vision, that was when the sale came. You know, we'd been on the market for over 3 years before that. But when I knew what I was doing, God was so, so gracious in how he led and guided and, you know, was so patient. But there's power in his word. The reason I'm sharing this with you today is to try to encourage you again, which I've spoken like this many times. But the word of God is so powerful, and he has given it to us with his authority behind it to use as we see fit. And we see fit if we are walking with him. You know, you'll know, you know your own heart about your own desires and what you want to happen. And when your heart is right, you can be excited and confident in using God's word for whatever you want. What is it that you want? Find your scriptures. What do you want? Find your scriptures. Write out a declaration. You can tweak it. You can add to it. You can build on it. That's what I did. And God will keep bringing things to you to use in your ongoing process for whatever it is that you want. But it's his word. It's his word in the heart and the mouth of a righteous people. And you have been made righteous. This is so important. Sin is not a barrier between you and God now. He has dealt with the sin. He's removed it from you. It's not an issue. You have direct access to the power of God. There's nothing hindering you other than what you are prepared to say and believe and do. That's the only hindrance. And we sang about the battle belongs to the Lord. The battle does belong to the Lord. He has won the victory. But though that choir still needed to walk out into that field, they still needed to stand there and they still needed to sing. I was looking up the word for jubilee, which is mostly in the book of Leviticus. This is a whole other teaching, but I'm just mentioning it because it's talking about Joshua. And when they marched round Jericho and they blew that trumpet, that ram's horn is the word jubilee. And they blew this horn and they shouted and the walls fell down. Now, they didn't pull the walls down, the walls fell down, but they still had to march. They still had to put faith in what they were doing. They still had to blow that horn. Yet there are things that we need to do. The things that we need to do. Jesus has won the victory. He's won that. Job had nothing. We have everything. Because of what Jesus has done for us. And we are in him. He is in us. We're connected to heaven. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the word. And we have each other. We have two or three witnesses who can agree with us. I feel like this is one of the best kept secrets in the whole of Christendom. Is the power of God's word. Amen. In the mouth of the Christian. It's so powerful. It shapes and forms our life. And if you want a better life, easy. Easy peasy. Use the word. Now there'll be other things we have to do, you know. There's things we need to do. We need to be sensible. We need to... I could go on and on. The point is, God has given us amazing resources that we have direct access to at no cost to us, but at great cost to him. You know, let's not waste what he's done, but you know, be excited to use his word and see it come to pass in our lives, whatever we need, whatever is coming against us, nothing is stronger than the power of the word of God. Yeah, amen to that.